The New York Times story about the finances of the Trump family begin this way. President Trump participated in dubious tax schemes during the 1990s, including instances of outright fraud that greatly increased the fortune he received from his parents. An investigation by the New York Times has found. Actually, I believe the first sentence is this. The president has long sold himself as a self-made billionaire, but a Times investigation found that he received at least $413 million in today's dollars from his father's real estate empire, much of it through tax dodges in the 1990s. The president responded on Twitter, "Something I've never seen before. They use the time value of money principle in doing a very big, boring, and often told hit piece on me." He says that they're still smarting over the election results. That was him on Twitter.
So his defense is it would have only been $300
million? Yeah. He's all famously said that it was $1 million and he had to pay interest on it, that he truly is a self-made man. One of the reporters on that piece is David Barstow. Hey, David, it's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Do you have a response, by the way, to the president's tweet about this?
Well, I can't talk about whether or not it's boring, but I can say for sure that it's new. It's not old. There's an awful lot in this story that has actually never before been reported, and in part because we were able to, in the course of our reporting, assemble a trove of tens of thousands of pages of everything from hundreds of tax returns to banking and financial records that for the first time actually allow us to piece together the story of the financial support that Fred Trump gave to his son Donald.
Can you give us an example of that? What's a breaking piece of news in this?
Well, I think there's a couple of pieces to this. So, first of all, what we were able to track for the first time was we documented over 295 different revenue streams that Fred Trump created for the benefit of his son. So he made him not just his salaried employee, but also made him his banker and made him his landlord and paid him to be a consultant and paid him more to be a property manager and still more to be the purchasing agent, and then also found a way to get even the laundry money from his buildings into the hands of his son. That's so the result of that is that by age three, when Donald Trump was age three, he was making today's equivalent of $200,000 a year, and by age eight he was a millionaire. By age 17 he was being given ownership of a 52-unit apartment building in Queens, and so that's one kind of big thread and component of this story.
Yeah.
And the other kind of big piece of it is that that amount of money that flowed to Donald Trump was increased significantly by a number of tax dodges.
When you use the word dodges, and you use it a lot in the story, I read all of it, by the way. Please don't quiz me on it. And I didn't closely examine all the supporting documentation you presented, but I did read it. And I noticed that you use the word dodges a lot. What does the word dodges mean? I mean, is that against the law, I'm wondering?
So in the language of taxes, there's sort of these two words that get used an awful lot. There's tax avoidance, which is legal, and then there's tax evasion, which is clearly illegal. And then there's a sort of a gray area, right? That's kind of, and that's an awful lot of the world of taxation is trying to figure out where the line is between legal tax avoidance and illegal tax evasion. So sometimes what so dodge is kind of a word in between.
And did you find any criminal offenses here, and would any of them follow from this?
So we obviously enlisted the help of some of the leading gift and estate tax experts, and also people who are experienced prosecutors in tax cases and presented much of what we found to those folks. And in the case, there's one particular thing that we described in the story is really clearly an overt fraud, and that was the establishment of a sham corporation by the Trump family to siphon money out of Fred Trump's real estate empire in a way that avoided entirely a 55% tax on gifts.
Right.
And so that would be certainly one that I would point to. There are others as well, but
I'm not aware of any criminal proceedings in this case, but there that is.
Oh, I'm sorry. To answer that question, I mean, the statute of limitations makes criminal prosecution, it's a huge obstacle to any kind of criminal prosecution. These are events that happened mostly in the 90s. On the other hand, there is no statute of limitations for civil fraud. And so the state of New York, for example, their taxation authorities have begun looking at this, and they have the potential to actually impose very stiff fines for civil fraud should they find that.
You know, the story really is about Fred Trump trying to pass the money to his kids, particularly Donald, his favored one, over the years. And it's mm-hmm. interesting how using legitimate and illegitimate, you know, dodgy things mm-hmm. along the way. Mm-hmm. I want a billionaire dad who someday wants to, when I'm three, give me $200,000 and fund my lifestyle and support my mistakes if I buy Eastern Airlines or a casino mm-hmm. or a mm-hmm. hotel to sort of underwrite them. But that's really the overriding theme of this. It's how the father wanted to pass along the money to the son. Why? Why did Fred Trump spend all of his time trying to give the money to the kids?
Because Fred Trump absolutely detested taxes. He actually built his empire largely on the basis of federal housing subsidies and his ability. He became actually one of the largest recipients of subsidized federal building loans in the 40s and 50s. But at the same time, he just detested taxes, and he was determined to give in his view, every single penny that he had earned over his lifetime rightfully belonged in the pockets of his children, not with the government.
Al, you're on WGN. You had a question about the article. What was your question, Al? Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Well, I read the article, and what I'm wondering about is what you termed as the revenue stream that was created from the corporation to Donald Trump and the other children. And I'm wondering, how is that a tax dodge? Because a revenue stream is income, and they have to pay income taxes on the income. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a very good point and a very smart point. However, the income tax that you would pay, first of all, let me just be very clear. Not every one of those 295 revenue streams was somehow improper or illegal. We're quite precise in the story at pointing out the things that we do feel crossed the line based on the reporting and based on the conversations we've had with the experts that we enlisted. But it is also correct, though, that the amount of income tax that the kids would have paid on some of this revenue was significantly less than the 55% gift and estate tax. So it's just a much lower form of taxation.
Well, if I could follow up with another question, isn't that, though, a choice of which rate they're going to be taxed at, income or gift?
It depends, right? In the land of, it sounds like you're someone who knows something about the tax world. But if you in the land of the IRS,
all my life,
So
I've made it my business. So,
right. It's clear that if the intent of the for example, this company that we describe, All County Building Supply, was to disguise gifts as legitimate business expenses, that's a problem for the IRS.
I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for the call. We've got to take a break, Al, but that company that you just referred to, Al County, is the one they created to do the purchasing for all of these Trump properties. And it was really run, if you will, by the children. And then what they would do is they'd buy the things that the hotels and apartment buildings needed, but they would pay ridiculously inflated prices. And then the recipient of that, this Al County company, it's the kids. So it's a way to, instead of paying $500 for a stove, pay $700 for a stove, and then for every stove purchased, the kids get $200. That's how
Correct.
Fred was passing money on to his children. Again, something
Correct.
My dad never did for me. But enough about me. So is that's kind of clever. I don't know. Is that illegal, what they were doing there?
Yeah, so let me put it this way, we presented all of this to one of the top criminal prosecutors, someone who prosecuted criminals, white collar criminal activity in Manhattan, and his reaction was, yeah, that's a number of things going on there. There's an undeclared gift. There is the potential of, well, there's also another component to this, which you haven't mentioned, which is the Trumps then submitted those inflated invoices to the authorities in New York who regulate rents, and they used the inflated invoices to justify getting rent increases.
Right.
And so there's also another component to this, which is just a basic fraud component.
Well, it wasn't a victimless crime then. In other words, other people then had to pay more money to stay in those places because of the regulation, which is a fascinating and not small point to the story in the New York Times. I'm out of time, but wow, David, what work you folks have done. Thank you for visiting with us today, and I'm sure there will be some follow-up on this. Good luck to you all.
Thank you very much.
David Barstow writes for the New York Times.